We're going to go on to the fourth case of the day, which is Appeal 043410, and it's David Balance versus the Springfield Police Department. And it's Mr. Baker. Good morning, Mr. Baker.
Good morning, Judge Rovner. May it please the court, Mr. Martinez. David Balance was employed as a police officer by the city of Springfield. In the summer of 2000, he and his wife had a domestic altercation that ultimately resulted in his termination. Mr. Balance filed a lawsuit alleging reverse discrimination. The district court, at the summary judgment stage, determined that Mr. Balance was able to establish a prima facie case of reverse discrimination. The court thereafter erroneously concluded that he was not able to present sufficient evidence of pretext. Now, the city of Springfield offered three justifications for why they terminated David Balance's employment. The first of those was because he inflicted serious injuries upon his wife.
Could I just stop there? Because
yes.
It seems that his proposed comparator person, Officer Stelevin, while perhaps inflicting some, this is a terrible sort of situation, how much violence against which wife? But is there any evidence that the responsible officials in the Springfield Police Department didn't believe that Officer Balance broke his wife's ribs and otherwise caused her to seek medical attention, as opposed to simply being, not that I want to trivialize it, but being slapped?
Well, and Judge Wood, you raise a good point, and I think that there's a fair question of fact on that issue.
Well, that they believed it or what happened? Because it doesn't really matter.
Right. No, and you're absolutely right. What the actual facts of what happened, if they truly believed it, I grant your point, and that's very well taken. But in this particular situation, Springfield Police Department has a rule, Rule 4, which says that an officer may not violate the law. Now, Mr. Stelevin, when he slapped his wife, the city of Springfield determined that he had violated the law. Conversely, at the conclusion of the pre-deprivation hearing, the police chief made the determination that Mr. Balance, there was not evidence to support the fact that he had violated the law. Now, it would be a difficult leap to make to say that he beat up his wife as seriously as the injuries that she sustained, but without making the conclusion that he violated the law. It's an inconsistent determination. And I believe that that inconsistency, while the district court argues or maintains in its order that just shows that the city of Springfield was bending over backwards to be fair to Mr. Balance, and that's certainly an inference that could be drawn from that. However, I don't know that that's an inference that's permissible to be made as a matter of law as opposed to a matter of fact.
Mr. Stelevin's, did he have a history, a disciplinary history that you would say was equal to or on the same level as Mr. Balance's disciplinary history?
I would say that they are comparable. Mr. Balance and Mr. Stelevin were both suspended multiple occasions. Mr. Stelevin was suspended for a total of 9 days throughout his tenure. Mr. Balance was suspended for many more days than that. However, after grievances had been filed, he ultimately served a total of 15 days worth of suspensions. And I think he actually served three separate suspensions. Mr. Stelevin served three separate suspensions, 9 days as opposed to 15 days.
Will the record tell us if Mr. Stelevin left voluntarily? I see that he isn't with the department any longer.
My
Judge Rover, I don't know that I could tell you if Mr. Stelevin left voluntarily, let alone what the record would reflect. Mr. Stelevin certainly did not leave as a result of the incident with his wife.
When you compare the number of days on suspension, we also have to look at the number of incidents, because Mr. Balance was involved in 6 different incidents versus Mr. Stelevin, who I think was involved in 3.
Mr. Stelevin was involved in 3, and Mr. Balance was ultimately, I believe, involved in 6 different incidents. The incidents that Mr. Balance was involved in were all matters that were factually disputed. And Mr. Balance was given lengthy suspensions for each of those, and the union fought those on Mr. Balance's behalf, saying that factually they didn't occur. And ultimately, those suspensions by agreement were reduced from very lengthy suspensions to a total of 5 days. I mean, there were 3 separate incidents that had occurred, and as a result of those, he served a total of 5 days of time off.
But you wouldn't impose even a 5-day suspension on somebody if you believed in the end, let's say, that he didn't throw the rock at the car, he didn't threaten the old man to the fist fight, etc. I mean, you are doing some form of progressive discipline, perhaps.
Well,
I don't see this as exoneration necessarily.
Well,
maybe it's mercy.
Well, Judge, let me answer it that way. They're this way. The throwing the rock at the car, they fired Mr. Balance for that. It went to an arbitrator. An arbitrator said it didn't happen. Factually, it didn't happen. Ordered Balance reinstated with full benefits and full pay. There's no discipline on his record for that. The city continually maintains, well, we fired him once before. Yeah, they fired him once before. They appealed the arbitration decision. I mean, they didn't like him. The chief of police did not like him, and that is very clear from the record that we have here. I mean, Mr. Balance served heroically. He saved the life of an infant. He was involved in an altercation where he killed a perpetrator on the street. He was given significant awards, recognition for this. And the chief of police didn't want to give him those awards. First time in the history of the city of Springfield.
In the record will evidence that?
Well, I think that the record, the evidence on the awards is represented by the testimony, one of Mr. Balance.
No,
but
we
also
know he has the awards. We know that. But what will reference? What evidence references that the chief didn't want to give him the awards?
That was referenced by, number one, I believe there was some testimony from the chief on that issue. But more importantly, there was testimony from a man named Don Clement. Don Clement has served in a variety of capacities. He served as the president of the union during the period of time where the awards weren't given. He also served as head of internal affairs, and now, and at the time of his deposition, he served as the chief of police for the city of Springfield. The reality of this case is city of Springfield had a police chief who was very divisive, and that is referenced throughout the record. The rank and file had a vote to determine whether there was confidence in the chief. 11% said yes, 89% said no. One of the questions that was asked of the rank and file was, is the chief consistent in his application of discipline? 5% said yes, 95% said no. The city of Springfield commissioned a report from a law firm by the name of Hush and Eppenberger. And the Hush and Eppenberger report concluded.
Well, actually, while you're on that report, the summary said, with respect to the incidents we were charged to investigate, if race played a role, and we have not concluded that it did in any meaningful way. And then they go on to say kind of affirmative action.
Yeah, and Judge Wood, they were called in because there were a lot of minority officers who had filed lawsuits against the city of Springfield alleging race discrimination. And they were looking at it from the other perspective. What they also said, based upon several interviews, including Chief Harris's, race and gender are taken into consideration at various stages, including determination of disciplinary action or determination of the need for an internal affairs investigation. I see that my light is, and I will reserve the remainder of my time for rebuttal.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Martinez.
Thank you, Your Honor. Frank Martinez on behalf of the City of Springfield. May it please the court, counsel. The appellant has not presented any evidence to show that the reasons given by Chief Harris were pretextual. They were a lie, they were a phony reason, that they didn't occur, that he did not honestly believe that the reasons he gave for the termination of Mr. Balance somehow were not his honest beliefs.
But what about the point that Mr. Baker makes about the Rule 4 violation? Surely, if you're beating somebody up to the point that you're breaking her ribs, that must violate the law in Springfield.
Your Honor, I would agree, but you also have to look at the contents in which Chief Harris is looking at a Rule 4 violation. He's looking to see, is there enough evidence to sustain the allegation? He did not exonerate Mr. Balance, which he had that option to do. He just found it was not sustained.
But don't you find it very odd that Mr. Stelevin, is found guilty for a slap, and Mr. Balance is found not guilty for...
Well, the cases are different, Your Honor. In Mr. Stelevin's case, he admitted to an officer that he did, in fact, slap his wife. In this case, Mr. Balance has never made that admission.
Didn't his wife back out? I mean, his wife didn't corroborate.
That's correct. She had given several consistent...
She fell down or something like that after there was a report.
Well, she changed her story, didn't she? She originally said yes.
Right. What happened was at the pre-deprivation hearing, Mr. Balance read a statement on behalf of his wife, that indicated that. But prior to that, Mrs. Balance had always indicated that that Mr. Balance had caused these injuries. And in fact, in the testimony of Chief Harris, he clearly states that if an officer causes severe injury to their spouse or to whomever, and there's bruising, cuts, and broken bones, he's going to discharge that officer. And that's exactly what he did in this case.
So what's the meaning of Rule 4 violation versus not Rule 4 violation? I don't understand that at all, because you would think that's the same thing as finding that there was a Rule 4 violation. What's the difference?
Well, the problem I think that Chief Harris had in this case is, could he prove that if it went to arbitration? You had conflicting stories. You had this apparent admission by Mrs. Balance that she caused the injuries. But if you look at the injuries, that's just not a plausible explanation.
Does the record contain any evidence of the injuries other than this series of statements that Mrs. Balance made? No hospital records, no other independent... I mean, again, I realize, we're looking at sincerity of belief, but that takes us into this Rule 4 problem.
Well, it does show that she was taken to the hospital. There's testimony from her daughter who took her there.
Okay.
In her deposition. Also, there's pictures that were taken of the injuries, in which Chief Harris indicates in his testimony that he reviewed.
And those pictures are in the record as well?
I don't believe the pictures are, but his testimony, is in the record.
Okay.
With respect to the obstruction charge, what do we make of the fact that the present chief didn't think that Mr. Balance had obstructed the investigation?
Well, the present chief wasn't the decision maker at the time. No. It was Chief Harris, and I believe Chief Harris's belief that there was obstruction. Commander Burton, Commander Hughes, who conducted the internal investigation, felt that there was obstruction. In fact, in Mr. Burton's synopsis of the case, he provides that evidence very clearly. Any obstruction of any manner, even an attempt to obstruct an internal affairs investigation, is going to be grounds for termination. And that's exactly what happened here. Mr. Balance refused to answer questions. He had to be ordered to answer questions. He started asking his own questions when he was told that he's not allowed to do that. So, in fact, the record is clear from Mr. Balance's internal affairs statement that he, in fact, did obstruct the process. Also, if you look at the disciplinary history of Mr. Balance, it is quite extensive, as this court has already pointed out. There were numerous suspensions.
But the question was, how did it stack up against Officer Stelevin's record? Significantly worse or roughly the same as Mr. Baker is suggesting?
It certainly was not the same. It was significantly worse. If you look at the total number of times, he was given 31 days of suspension. I know three of those instances were allowed to go concurrently. But if you look at the number of days of suspension, and you compare that to Mr. Stelevin, who prior to this domestic altercation with his wife, back in June of 1982, he served his longest suspension. The two other suspensions were for vehicle accidents.
Well, what about the nature of the incidents? In terms of Balance, most of those were either temper issues or violent behavior type issues, weren't they?
They were. That's quite correct, Your Honor, that Mr. Balance repeatedly had altercations with the members of the public, his own family. He's been charged with this unbecoming charge. He was insubordinate. He didn't report for work. He also was told not to go on emergency response team calls, and he went anyway. Clearly, if Mr. Balance felt that any of these, if he disputed the facts of any of these suspensions, he would have taken them to arbitration. He has that right under his collective bargaining agreement to go into an arbitration like he did over the rock-throwing incident and indicate such. In that rock-throwing incident, what happened there is the arbitrator determined that story given or the explanation given by the driver and his wife, that they couldn't have seen what they thought they saw. So it was just a matter of determining at that hearing where he was going to give the credence.
But that was thrown out by the arbitrator.
It was, Your Honor. And we're not going to dispute that. The city had to follow that decision, and we didn't agree with it. Obviously, if we had, we wouldn't have appealed it into a circuit court. But yes, he was reinstated. In addition, if you look at the injuries that Mrs. Stelevin received, and you look at the injuries that Mrs. Balance received, they're not nowhere close. A slap or two, and I'm not saying that a slap is appropriate.
You better
and,
not.
And I apologize if
not
I give that inference. Just to indicate, when you're looking at the conduct, you have to see are there distinguishing factors in the conduct, and I believe that it's clearly shown in the record. In addition, Mr. Balance was not meeting the city's legitimate expectations. In fact, the two awards that were discussed earlier, Chief Harris did not want to give those to Mr. Balance. Those awards are determined by a separate committee that are not comprised of members of the Springfield Police Department. They're comprised of independent commission. Had he felt he was doing a good job, he would have more than likely given him those awards. Your Honors, we feel that there's no material issue of fact here, genuine issue as it goes to pretext. We also indicated and discussed earlier that Mr. Balance was not meeting the legitimate expectations of the city of Springfield, as well as the fact that he is not comparable to Mr. Stelevin. Thank you.
Thank you.
May it please the court, a couple of quick points. Mr. Martinez stated that Mr. Balance didn't take his suspensions to arbitration, that he had that right. No, he didn't have that right. His union had that right. And his union did grieve those suspensions and ultimately got them significantly reduced. Unions have to use their resources wisely. And to say that Mr. Balance had that decision-making, he did not. I want to address something that you, Judge Williams, raised to Mr. Martinez. You talked about the fact that Mr. Balance, the allegations or the discipline against him had to do with off-duty conduct of somewhat of a violent nature. And I would initially suggest that there have been numerous issues with the City of Springfield Police Department of off-duty conduct of that type.
There's no allegation of Mr. Balance doing anything other than having a verbal confrontation with someone. One of the incidents for which he was disciplined occurred at a basketball game where he and another person at a high school basketball game disagreed over whose seat it was. Had the city of Springfield come forward at the stage in the McDonnell Douglas burden shifting analysis and said, we didn't want David Balance because he was a hothead, because he'd engaged in all these problems and we were concerned, that would have been a legitimate justification. They did not bring that forward. So I don't think that can be used at this particular point in time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks to both Mr. Baker and Mr. Martinez. The case will be taken under advisement.